The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That must have been something when Paul first suggested that Timothy accompany him on that missionary journey. You wonder how Timothy felt. I mean, he couldn't have been very old, not if many years later Paul was still saying, "Let no man despise thy youth." So perhaps he was just a teenager. So, wow, what an honor to be asked by the apostle to go with him on his missionary travels. Now, this certainly says something about Timothy, doesn't it? Not to mention his parents, who had done such a good job of bringing him up. In his second epistle to Timothy, Paul singles out his mother Eunice and grandmother Lois, especially for their faith, which he says that characterized Timothy also. And remember, too, how in that same epistle, the apostle referred Timothy to the scriptures that he had known since childhood. And now it was all paying off. Timothy would go with Paul. Of course, Paul's invitation was not to a life of sweetness and light. In fact, Paul had first come to Derbe and Lystra, Timothy's hometown, on his first journey, right after an attempt on his life by stoning in Iconium. Now, this was certainly known to Timothy. In any case, we can be sure that Paul was honest with this young man about the nature of first century mission work, the hardships of travel, the challenges of the work itself, and the very real threat of persecution. And just remember how Paul described his life to the Corinthians. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And that was the life to which Paul was inviting the young man, Timothy. So what sounds rather glorious to accompany an apostle was anything but. However, as far as Timothy was concerned, all that kind of lay in the future. He really didn't know how tough it would be. And besides, the young often have the ability to romanticize hardships before they materialize. So maybe, just maybe, Timothy did not contemplate realistically how tough it was going to be. Who knows? But there was one thing that we know that Timothy knew about the hardships that he would face when Paul brought up the subject. "And by the way, Timothy," he might have said, "I really want you to come, but you know, you'll have to be circumcised." Now, Timothy was no baby. He was a young man. And now he had to be circumcised? We don't want to exaggerate this, but we shouldn't minimize it either. The apostle was requiring something rather extraordinary for Christian mission work. First of all, there was the physical discomfort. And in an age without aspirin, without antiseptics, this meant real pain, real risk, and real time spent recovering. We can also imagine that it meant some real embarrassment for the young man. I think even more significant, though, is what it meant for Timothy's sense of self and family. After all, he was a Christian, but not a Jew. His mother may have been Jewish, but his father was a Greek. And whatever had been the family dynamics at the time that Timothy was born, well, his parents had not circumcised him. He may have been raised as a believer, but not as a Jew. He would be Greek, like his father. But now, says the apostle, we're going to change all of that. In order to be a Christian missionary, you need to shed that Gentile past. You need to repudiate your father's heritage. You need to be circumcised. And remember, this is coming after the Jerusalem Council, in which the church had recognized that Gentiles did not have to suffer circumcision in order to be saved. Faith in the Lord was enough for Jews and Gentiles alike, one way of salvation for both. But now Paul says to Timothy, you have to be circumcised for the sake of the Jews. Those people who had rejected and crucified Christ, those people who often still were the leaders of persecution against the church, against Paul, against the Christians. For their sake, says the apostle, you have to undergo the embarrassment and the pain of circumcision. And you know what? Timothy did just that. Now, how many of us would have done the same? Would have paid that particular price to accompany Paul? That's an interesting question, I think. And not an irrelevant one. For we have all been called, male and female alike, into a similar vocation. Not that of missionary, but simply that of Christian. For when we were baptized, our Lord made claims on us that were just as demanding as Paul's upon Timothy. I mean, just remember what our Lord says about the cost of discipleship. Statements like, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Or more simply, whoever does not take up his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, that's not Paul to Timothy. That's Jesus to you and to me. The Bible tells us that as Christians, we do not belong to ourselves. Not only has God made us, but our Lord has redeemed us. He has purchased us with his own blood so that we belong to him completely. Body, soul, time, talent, life. So, is it worth it? I mean, that's really the question, isn't it? Timothy thought so, but what about us? I think so. In fact, I know so. For where our Lord makes claims, he first gives gifts. Yes, he purchased us so that we belong to him and not to the devil, to sin, to death, to hell. Instead, we have forgiveness, we have life, we have resurrection in Jesus. Whatever the cost of discipleship, it's trivial. It's trivial when compared with our Lord's gifts that last beyond time and into eternity, our Lord's gifts that are ours, free of charge, no strings attached. But of course, here and now, there is real pain. There is real sacrifice. Just ask Timothy. But you know, the great thing about that is that you will be able to ask Timothy in time, in eternity, in heaven. Because that's what being grasped, claimed by Jesus really means. You belong to him now and forever. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.